and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement
because
of the kingdom.
Because faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogweli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavens.
Many of the things we want to get God to do, He has done. And enter into thanksgiving, we'll see those things manifest. Because thanksgiving doesn't only take care of the past, it takes care of the present and takes care of the future. For example, if something good is happening, thanksgiving causes that goodness to be sustained. So if something good is happening and I start thanking God, that thing multiplies. Amazingly too, if something bad is happening and I start thanking God, thanksgiving cut short that bad event. It stops it. And not only that it stops it, it turns it into a testimony. If you notice when Jehoshaphat and the nation of Israel was invaded and they were surrounded by an army and he appointed worshippers in the front, soldiers behind. Now, if you are the one and you are surrounded with problems, you will put warriors, prayer warriors in the front and worshippers behind. That's not time for worship. But he put worshippers in the front and prayer warriors behind. Those who carry sword, who know how to do warfare, he told to retreat. Those who know how to praise, he told to advance and lead the way. Now that's at bad times. Because thanksgiving in a time of trouble is a sign of the greatest, is a demonstration of your greatest form of faith in God. And he brings his manifestation in a way that blows people's mind. So that's what the man did. They got some exhortation from the Spirit of God through the prophet. And they did that. And they put the right people in the front. And this is what I'm advising you to do. Do it. I'm not saying there should be no prayer. Make prayer second. Make thanksgiving 70% and prayer 30% and you'll be shocked. All these meetings will just, everything will line up. Even in services, do what I'm telling you now. I'm going to show you a scripture. Teach the brethren this scripture, and you are going to have unfathomable victories in the remaining part of the year. I said the Lord talked to me 3 times. Now, I didn't want to teach along this line, this period. After the thought, when God talks to me repeatedly, I know that it's something I have to pay attention to. And sometimes I also know maybe that I'm ignoring something. When he repeats something, I take it as, okay, you need adjustment. So, and then he did it the third time. So I took note of it. And I decided to spend a whole day on it. And when I paid the attention, I saw what I was trying to get across. Get this to all the brethren. Get it to all of them. If this secret, was revealed to the 3 million people Moses brought out, all of them were ended in the promised land. The difference between those who end up in the promised land and those who die in the wilderness is attitude. More people have been defeated by wrong attitude than by sinful actions. You have heard that attitude determines altitude. It's true. Jesus listed the B attitudes. The B attitudes. In that list, he put one attitude that can always rescue a man that has sinned. The attitude he called contriteness, brokenness. If somebody has done something wrong,
Confess it. If you want to keep your sin, hide it. But if you want to get rid of it, confess it. But confession is supposed to be an expression of an attitude of contriteness. Contriteness on one end has been sorry about what you have done. But contriteness on the other hand is self-judgment. The scripture enjoins us to judge ourselves. If we don't want God to judge us, the best way is to do it by ourselves. So when you want to get rid of sin and the consequences it brings, confession is the key. Why does God want us to confess? Why can't he just go ahead and forgive us? The issue is not God forgiving. The issue is you correcting that. The issue, God wants us to confess because he wants us to actually correct ourselves by our own self. Because what makes sin take root in people, grow and start bearing fruit, is their inability to judge themselves. The human nature justifies self. It doesn't judge self. The human nature fears guilt. But is guilt, you know, like pain? You know, when you feel pain, you want to react against the source of it. That guilt leads to a reaction. The reaction is self-defense, self-justification, self-protection, self-preservation. And it leads to covering. That's why Adam ran and God had leave to cover himself. So do you know what normally happens? We end up hitting the same person that we've hurt. It happens. People hate the man that they owe. And we hate the person that we have hurt. You sinned against me. If tell yourself, this thing I did is not right. I'm really sorry for what I've done. This is not the way to treat somebody. You start the process of self-recovery. But do you know what the human nature does? It complicates the matter by, at the same time, adding hatred to the same person that you have hurt. You came to me and borrowed money from me with a promise that you will pay. At that time, it was sweet in your mouth. After you borrowed it, you spent it. Now you realize your indebtedness. You don't want to see me again. You hate me. You dislike me because you owe me. You know, when you sin against somebody, you are owing that person. It produces the same effect as when you borrow money from people. We don't like people that we owe. No, we don't like them. We don't. I've seen people who are still angry with somebody that they've killed. I met two people like that. They've killed a man, he's dead, they are still bitter. Because you don't get freed from your sin by hoarding it. You get freed from it by confessing it. And the Bible said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. God is only faithful to those who confess their sin, never to those who hid it. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. He that confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You say, how does this affect thanksgiving? It has everything to do with it. Because that's when we offend God, we start avoiding him. And then he goes inside us and pollutes the spirit of gratitude. We feel indebted.
and the offense destroys the flow of gratitude, the flow of thanksgiving. So ingratitude is a sin that is also a reflection of a sickness in the inward man. If Adam's normal response to God is "Good morning, Lord," that very day he sinned. It wasn't like that. He ran and hid himself. The bitter side of the human soul now starts coming out. When you stop thanking God, you start feeling Him. When you stop appreciating Him, you start disappointing Him. This thing destroyed 3 million people, murmuring and complaining. Ingratitude. 1 minute there is manna, everybody is happy. 5 minutes after that, they are back in their usual habits. Murmuring, complaining. We must not be like that. In this ministry, God's faithfulness is numerous. So in this ministry, thanksgiving, gratitude should be more numerous. Thank God for the next thing we want to accomplish. The key to the victory is that God will follow us into the battlefront. And the key to dragging God along is that you thanked Him for His past mercies. Matthew chapter 8, I want to show us something I wanted to get across to the brethren. When He had come down from the mountain, great multitude followed Him. And behold, a leper came. A leper. A leper. Leprosy is, that is physical representation of what sin is. That is sin in embodiment. When Jesus said, "No one has seen God at any time, but the Son that has been in the bosom of the Father, He has made Him know." Yes, if you have seen me, if you see leprosy, you have seen a picture of what sin is like. Sin is a disease. So that's why if God can cure you of sin, He can cure you of any sickness. He's the mother of all sicknesses. A leper came and worshipped Him. And you know, at this time, you know, they are ostracized. And we still do it in today's church. Just that we have some type of leprosies that once we notice, the church of today tends to ostracize people based on them. He committed adultery, so they send him out of the church. Even when you say you have repented, they give you back seat. And that seat is usually separated at the back. And they put you under this condition where brethren don't even greet you. They committed fornication. But there are a lot of other leprosies that people cover with their clothes that the church has not learned to discuss. But then they are not allowed to interact. They are not allowed to come. They can't attend service. They can't enter the temple of the Lord. That's the worst thing about this. This ability of this thing disconnect people from the presence of God. It does. And they are not allowed to interact with family. They are not allowed to. They are given their own world where they live. And many of them died there. Like Uzziah, the king, died a leper. And it was leprosy that he contacted in church. Because he was a king that moved out of his office and wanted to grab the office of the priest. Some kings do that. You see some businessmen, they get so wealthy, it gets into their head. They want to tell the priest how to do his job. There was a king too who tore the mantle of a priest in the Bible, Saul. There are kings like that. You know, as God blesses you as a businessman, or whatever you are doing, if you're not careful, you know, the devil is just looking for problems everywhere. I came to realize that there are three aspects to our personalities. When I read Luke 22, I saw where Jesus called Peter three names within a few seconds. He called him Peter, he called him Simon, and called him Satan. So I found out that the recreated spirit that used to God is Peter. The flesh is Simon. And the external person who wants to use Simon is Satan. And when a Simon yields to Satan, Jesus calls him Satan. The one that is constantly sabotaging your destiny is Simon. The one that is constantly seeking to obey God and do his will is Peter. And now, destiny is not established until Peter takes charge. And Simon has been subdued. Simon is the one that keeps falling and keeps messing up and keeps sinning. He's the one that denies the Lord. Peter gets up and says, I will go with you to the cross. I will even give my life to you. And you know, like when worship comes, the anointing comes on us, Peter rises. And we say one thing to the Lord and make commitments. And when we leave the presence of God or church or that, Simon comes up and messes up everything. Now, one reason for Thanksgiving, there are many reasons. One, every Christian must keep this, remember this, is that even though Simon still shows up once in a while, God did not throw you away. That's the amazing thing. The Lord declares you are supposed to be kept out. But Jesus stretched out his hands. Hands. That hand is not supposed to be touch a leper, but he stretched it and still touched you. The hands of Jesus touches lepers. There was a time Benin wouldn't touch Africans and some people from some foreign nation. Of course, it took God's dealings before he started going to nations like India and all that. It took a lot of dealings and it didn't happen in months. It happened over a period of time. And then if he goes, like he knows that he goes on foreign, he can't even touch such people. He can't hug them. And when it's time for them, he would rather shake back. And because the anointing could cast shadow, he would rather strike them with that shadow and get them. After God had dealt with it, now he hugs even dirty people carried from under the gutter. The father of the prodigal son hugged that gentleman that came from the pig den. And Jesus stretched his hand and touched a leper. And that's how the healing started. That's how the healing started. Many things that are still wrong with us, even though we have been saved, born again. There is now a Peter in us that loves God, that wants to do his way, but there are still some Simon, some of those cracks that once in a while tries to sabotage what God is doing. Simon can be the debt of gratitude. But if you have a revelation of Peter, it can be the outburst, the foundation for a life of thanksgiving. If all you know in you is Simon, you might not be grateful again. It's true that Adam messed up, but God slew a lamb and covered. That is where thanksgiving should have started. It's true the whole earth was destroyed, but God saved Noah and his family. Note, you start looking at your farm that has been destroyed, your house. So we have to start building house. Your life was preserved. So you start thinking about all the animals that died, how that there is nothing to offer. You forget that you have an ark loaded with preservation. So he put his hand in that small that was left and brought out what he offered. And when he offered it, the heaven opened. A covenant that will bring about restoration was reestablished. Many people are not able to do that thing that will move them to where they need to go because they are considering their lack and their loss. Behold, a leper came and worshipped him. A leper came and worshipped. A leper came and worshipped. And worshipped. A leper came and worshipped. Lepers don't worship. They avoid. If they have any other thing, they just beg. A leper came and worshipped. A leper came and worshipped. And that is the key. Each time that connection starts, the hand of God that looks distant appears and touches. It's very simple. It's very simple. But we could have had this morning meeting without it. And people could have left here with their leprosy. They will live here with their different needs and problems still with them. It's very simple. It's very simple. There should not be one service without that outstretched arm. The hand of the Lord is not short that he cannot save. His ears are not dull that he cannot hear. Leprosy blocks us from God. Not because it stops God from reaching out. Because you can see that when Adam did, God still reached out. But it stops man from responding. See, our sin is not enough to stop God's love. Our sin only stops us from responding to it. And it's not God who fails the sinner. It's the sinner who refuses to respond. That look at God so loved us in our sin that he gave his son and died, slew him on the cross, raised him from the dead, made his blood available that every sinner can escape. The problem is, the one that has offended is the same one that hates. The one that offends is the same one that hates. That's the way it works. Sometimes we hate to say I'm sorry. And then we hate the people we're apologizing to. That's why, you know, attitudes are behind all this. Attitudes. Because once the attitude is corrected and contriteness and brokenness is in the heart, it changes. Everything changes. There is healing in reconciliation. There is healing in confession. There is healing in it. If we want God to touch us, we must reach out to him in thanksgiving. Lamentation chapter 3, I think it's verse 22, he said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. I think I need to read it. That one alone. Help me find Lamentation. You know, Jeremiah wrote just before the book of Ezekiel. I want to read this translation, then we'll get some other translation. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Why? Because his compassion faileth not. God's compassion does not fail. Look at the next verse. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The reason is because God's compassion does not fail. Amazingly, they are new every morning. So, this is Tuesday. The mercy for today is not the same one for yesterday. Fresh one. Fresh one. Fresh one. If you want to be a great teacher, who inspire faith in people. You must know how to mend broken faith, broken relationships. If you don't know how to mend it, you can't keep people who are strong in faith strong all the time. Faith has a foundation. It is righteousness. It's right standing. So if you know how to keep people in good standing with God, how to remove the offenses, the problems, you can keep them strong in faith. You must know how periodically to come as a priest and service the faith of the church and remove the things that are the enemy has thrown to interfere in that relationship they have with God. Because that's where their defeat starts. If he keeps those interferences, the thing blocked up. And that's where their victory starts. If you can clean the contact up. You know, I think sometimes when your vehicle uses contact, sometimes those contacts need to be serviced. Because that's why sometimes you come in the morning, you try to start your car. It's not picking. The battery is on, but the car is not starting. The Holy Spirit is not the problem. The faith contact is what is suffering from pollutions. That's what sin does. Sin seeks to undermine your faith, to undermine your standing before God. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, for his compassion faileth not. How I wish you would believe it. That his mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faith. Have you seen where the spirit of worship and thanksgiving starts from? It doesn't start because you bought a new car. Those are the latter part. If you remember that you were a leper that has been made whole. And it's not just that you are made whole, that Simon still tries to lay his ugly head. And then once in a while, you know, you remember that God still believes in you. He still believes in the Peter. Irrespective of the misbehavior of Simon, he keeps you. He keeps you grateful. I can't help but thank him. Because minus him, I'm finished. Simon is so unstable, so unreliable, so untrustworthy. Don't only have a revelation of Simon, no. If you do, you won't want to continue. You'll be discouraged completely. Sometimes when we correct and we are working to kill Simon in order to make Peter strong, if you're not careful, you only remember Simon and what he has done and his activities in you. You can completely give up. And completely, the greatest of men still have battles to do with Simon. The holiest of men still have things, battles with the flesh. Simon is the flesh. Peter is the spirit. The Bible said the spirit lusted against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. The holiest of men still have that battle. But the key is not making room for Simon. There are environments in which Simon thrives and the environments in which Peter thrives. You see, I've just exposed you to the environment of thanksgiving. You can't help but have Peter triumph in this kind of environment. Stay away from the environment that reinforces the weaknesses in you, the flesh. Don't make room for the flesh. Don't assume that the flesh is gone permanently, because it's one battle that you fight till you experience the rapture. Complete victory in that area is not in this side of this life. That battle will still be there. You might be having control, dominion over it. Paul said, I put my body under. That is right. But if you make room for the flesh, it will floor you. Look at a man that was entrusted with leadership of the New Testament. He abandoned it and went back to fishing. That's Simon. You can't trust Simon. You can't trust him. He betrays people.
He is unreliable. You can't trust him. He is very weak. He falls at every slight of temptation. I have studied my Simon very well. And God showed me how to tighten it up, imprison it. Act the scripture say mortify. Not only that you should kill it, put it in a coffin, put it in the freezer. Of course, bring it out of the freezer and bury it. And realize what empowers him. Because if you provide it, it will rise up from that place. It's not only Jesus that rises from the dead. The flesh can. That's why you see such writings. Let him that thinketh his stand. What? You know why that take it is written? Because of Simon. Simon can mess Peter up. Stop feeding your Simon. Stop feeding him. There are things he likes to feast on. And those are the same things that shrivel your faith, that shrivel your Peter. Your faith is in your Peter. Your Peter can walk on water. Your Peter can open blind eyes. Your Peter can feed 5,000. Your Peter can obey God. Your Peter can take your city. Feast. Feed that Peter. Concentrate on developing it, and you will achieve your destiny in life. Your Peter can fulfill the mandate God has put before you. And God believes in your Peter. He believes in that Peter that is in you. He believes in it. He died to save it. He died to preserve it. That's it. When you get crude oil, you see that they refine, there is a product that comes out of it that is very costly. That's where nations make their money. There is that, you know, dross that finally is left out. That's Simon. The same thing I buy is found in gold. When you see that gold or the rotten, there is a precious element in it, the gold, the pure gold. Then there is the dross, the waste product, the Simon. Don't let Simon eclipse your Peter to the extent that the world never meets the man God anointed, the man that God called you to be. Don't let Simon have the upper hand. To demystify it, he wants to exalt Simon so that, that's why Satan attacks. Satan's weapon is to amplify the flesh and then demystify the spirit. Your strength is in the spirit. That's why it will lead to what I'm about to show you next. It will lead to what I'm about to show you next. Your strength is in the spirit. He knows that that's where you will defeat him every time he confronts you there. So he seeks to shift the battleground to the flesh where he knows he will always defeat you. But the question is, why did Jesus speak the way he did? He wanted Peter to understand why he had been failing. He wanted him to see that even though there is an aspect of him that is weak, that has tendency to fail, that there is an aspect of him that is a rock that can lead him to victory. He wanted him not just to have a revelation of his failures, a revelation of his Simon. He wanted him to see that there is a rock in him. So why did he pray for him? Because his prayer reinforces Peter. He reinforces Peter and defeats Simon. I also noticed what Jesus prayed. He said, I pray for thee that thy faith faileth not. It didn't say, I pray for thee that you won't make mistakes. He said, that thy faith faileth not. So he said, after you are converted, restore your brethren. Cheese or mix anybody. That's where the final battle is fought. Is in this faith arena.
Somebody went through all those things, made all the mistakes, but came out. Said, create in me a clean heart, oh God, renew a right spirit within me. I will use this to turn sinners to thee, and all of that. And Lord, you know, the way he looks at the whole thing, he came out with the beauty. He came out with the lessons. It's not that things happened to you, but what did you come out from it? Another person went through that little thing you went through, and he comes out bitter. He doesn't want to see his pastor. He's bitter against the church. He's bitter against people. See how he talks now, all these things. We have done it before. That's when he's finished. Satan has now finally annihilated Peter. My prayer for you is that your faith faileth not. That after you come through this, the rejoicing you will not stop. The happy you will not stop. That giving you will not stop. The one that wants to walk on water will not stop. The one that took the knife and cut off somebody will not stop. The one that is dynamic and moving will not stop. The Peter that we have known will not stop. That's what I pray for you about. That's what I pray for you. That when you come out, that thing that made me make you the chief apostle, which is your faith, will not stop. That good thing God placed in you will not be robbed. That even when Satan finishes what he has done, he wouldn't have stolen the treasure. He wouldn't have stolen the treasure. The blood can remove the dross, but the problem is we God still find the treasure. We God still find that man that can believe him. We God still find that one that can take a stone and face a Goliath. If he can still find him, then the treasure is still intact. Then Satan did not really succeed. Yes, he may have knocked you down, but he didn't knock you out. Can I hear you say amen? Is the impact of what happened on your attitude that decides where you stand. Some people, it ends up robbing them. They don't believe in anything. Some will end up changing the theology, their theology, to now accommodate permanent defeat. That's when they are finished. For the children of Israel, when they finally concluded, forget about it, we are grasshoppers. There's no way we can take that land. God said, I forgave them 10 times. And if they commit, I can keep forgiving them as long as they believe. But now, they've made the wrong conclusion. There's nothing we can do about it. Massacre all of them here. Massacre them. Get them finished. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. What is my revelation there? That his compassion faileth not. I know that human beings fail. God's compassion does not fail. Because if he fails, I won't be here. I won't have got to Lagos. I won't have reached Enugu. And then this hope that we will reach Africa and reach China. No. I won't be here. Oh, I have been gone since, buried since. My I have been forgotten since. His compassion faileth not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So you see, they entered not because of unbelief. The things they went through polluted their faith, and that's where he killed them. That's where he killed them. The attitude of believability. If you did something wrong, imbibe the attitude of contriteness, judge yourself. Confess it, then let it go. Forget about it. Stop carrying the weight of it. Stop letting it depress you. Stop letting it. Let it go. If you can let it go mentally, you can let it go. Matthew chapter 8. Here is the other part.
God knows. That even though God exists, his hand is willing to stretch and help. He has realized that because of the fallen nature, man needs God to be brought to him at the human form. There's something about when I come, I represent God. She knows me to be a man of God. She knows that the hand of God is on my life. And I come to her and say, God asked me to tell you, don't worry. The battle is not yours, it's his. God asked me to tell you that he still cares about you.
God may have been trying to get this across to her, but the struggle of our falling blocks this thing. So God, by creating Christ, coming in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, is to now take God again, not from, to take him out of the realm of the spirit, that realm of the intangible, and make him tangible, touchable, accessible to men. Of course, you know that leper, God healed because there was Emmanuel available. There was a physical hand to touch her. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So Jesus, immediately after touching the leper, pointed the leper to the priest. This is where you come in as ministers of the gospel. I want to show you a secret. There is a reason why you exist. If you minus the priest, 99 and 9 over 10 of men cannot reach God. This is God. He reveals himself as Shekinah. He did this to the children of Israel the moment he took them out of Egypt. This thing manifested on the night of Passover and then began to follow them from that day forward. Divided the Red Sea. This is God. He manifests himself through his presence. At the Mount of Transfiguration, or Mount of God, it's called the Ark of Covenant. That is the presence of God embodied in a way that people can now see it. When you see the Ark moving, they can know that it's God that is moving. Because the glory of God, usually, that's why God did that for them. He knew he was dealing with men who are still struggling with their fallen nature. So Moses went up to the Mount Sinai, and came down with the ark and a tabernacle. God saying, build me a tabernacle that I might dwell among them. The second thing he came down with was the law. This is what he called principles. Now, if you've given your life to Christ at least for up to a year, you know as well as I do that people who make mistakes in the church, who are born again, don't do it because they don't know that it is written. They know. The ones who committed sin, know. They don't do it because they don't know that God exists. They know. Some of them, the people who committed, have encountered God before. Judas has had divine encounter with all the other apostles. He has also cast out devils, used the power of God to help people before. Judas did not do what he did because he didn't know that stealing was wrong. He knew. He sat under the teachings of Jesus for 3 years. So, when Moses brought the ark down and brought the 2 tables of stone down, and gave the law to the children of Israel and revealed God to them, and they pitched that tent. They created it. God told Moses, come here. I have to show you one more thing. If you don't have this, these people cannot make it.
Because Moses discovered that when he was collecting the laws that they were going to obey, the principles, by the time he got down to the foot of the mountain, the first thing that was written there has been disobeyed. And so he had to break the two stones. In other words, principles without priests will lead all of us to hell, including those of us who preached it. So God gave Moses the last thing, if we are going to make it, that we need. It's called the priest. That is the message, actually, that I have. Priest. He said, if let me warn you, because New Testament, you know, some people stay, you know, you can write beside the priest, grace. Some people stay and don't teach the principles. So they're not able to empower people to bring the kingdom to pass on earth. You have to teach the principles. If you don't teach it, you will not perfect the people you are leading. You have to expose them to the presence of God. This is what ministry contains, these three elements. First is that people have to be brought to experience God. Worship, prayer times, and all of those things that bring God on the scene are very important. Two is that people have to be taught the ways of God, the principles of God, how to please God, and the ways, things that they have to do to succeed. It's very important to teach it. Without that, there is no discipleship in that church. And what will happen is that broken principles disconnect the Shekinah and the presence of God. It stops coming. It disconnects people from touching His presence. But the third thing is that any ministry that wants to go far and take people out and they will get in must have the administration of grace. The administration of blessing. And that's where the priest come in. Everything about the priest is about managing the relationship that we have with God. Everything about the king is managing our relationship with creation. The kingly ministry is the bilateral, is the horizontal side of our ministry. It's impacting society, impacting creation, about creating wealth, affecting our environment, transforming, building roads, career, business, all of that. All these things we do, you know, to change our world. That's our kingly ministry. But our priestly ministry is a vertical thing. It's about managing that relationship that affects everything. And the key to managing it is to recognize that the people you are representing have problems, failures, shortcomings. No priest can do his job if he does not understand the human nature. So God's Old Testament ideal was to pick a priest from among the people who is also laden with infirmities. Before somebody comes to you and says, Pastor, I'm being tempted to go after sister, what's your name again? Happiness. I saw happiness yesterday and I began to lust. You will not understand if all you are training is on principles. Because this one shows you everything that God requires, God's holiness, God's standards, and we have to keep that standard before the people. Everything about God, the standard, and all of that. You will not succeed in your priestly ministry because a priest represents the people before God. He is also to teach the people, he represents the God before the people. He's also to teach the people the laws of God to make them live right. do what is right.
But it's also to represent the people before God. The priest is the one that makes God understand people's weaknesses so that he can have compassion on it. That's why the moment a priest, your priest, fails you, your case is finished. There's nothing you're going to have except judgment. There's nothing you're going to have except judgment. In the traditional African society, if you are knowledgeable enough, you know that in every kingdom, traditional society, there are two powerful forces. The king, the one that sits on the throne, and the one that sits on the altar. When the Ezemo, what do you call him, Baba? What do you call him in Yoruba land? The Ifa priest carries his staff and appears in the palace. Sometimes the king is afraid. But most of them have enough good relationship not to be afraid. Like David and Nathan, that if there is any problem, he will tell him the problem and also show him the way out. If judgment is coming, the gods are very angry, he will let the king know, but at the same time, show the king how to appease the wrath of the gods. That's the way it should be. So Jesus said, even though I have touched you, go show yourself to the priest. Go show yourself to the priest. Everyone say that. Say it again. Teach this thing to the brethren. Anyone that doesn't value the pastoral covering on their life is doomed. Is doomed though. One of the greatest wisdom of Winners Chapel is that they keep bringing this truth before their people. They keep bringing it periodically before their people. The prosperity of God's people does not depend on hard work. It depends on grace combined with whatever they think they are doing. If grace is not important, there is no need to be serving God now. Because you can do your own stuff. You can become your own God. Do your own work. But if you read your Bible well, it will tell you that without me, you can do nothing. It will tell you that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. That beauty, there are people laboring in vain. Because they've not given God his rightful place. So the priest is God's representation on earth. Is God making himself available in every society, in every setting, every community of men, making himself available to them? Is God wiring his throne is to earth in such a way that human beings can touch him? That's why they tell you about the altar. They said that is the place of encounter with the spiritual world. That's a place that if you want to touch demons, you go there. If you want to see angels manifest, you go there. If you want to touch God, get God to move, you go there. That's the office of the priest. The altar is the office of the priest. It's his office. It's his office. You don't go to Aso Rock to look for God. That's not what you do there. You can look for contract there. Anything in the horizontal side of ministry, kingly side, you can go and look for it there. You can look for business there. But when you want divine intervention, when you want the power of God, when you want favor, when you want open heaven, you go and visit an altar and look for a priest. Get the brethren to understand. A lot of people are playing with the church. They are being damaged for it. God created this tabernacle so that men can come and contact him. And leprosy can be turned around to a testimony. There is no need for struggles in business. There is no need for sickness in the life of the saints. There is even no need for death to prey on God's people. And no need for demons to prey on them. The altar is their defense.
as long as they live in this world, if they can respect the altar and respect the priesthood, you don't have enough demon to knock them out. You know the amazing thing? When they understand the power of the altar and the priest, even sin can't take them out.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogweli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900.